Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week we're doing another one of our versus episodes. This week it's Final Fantasy V versus Dragon Quest V. A couple things I want to say though. First, if you've never listened to one of these episodes before, you should know we love both of these things. So this is more like a compare and contrast episode, but that just doesn't sound as nice.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Sounds more like a college paper that I would have to write, or like high school paper. Compare and contrast.
It's
these two
a public
things.
Speaking speech. I could totally see that this being somebody's like communications, like 131 public speaking.
Really, I feel like I had to write compare and contrast essays in like sophomore English, like in high school a lot. I feel like that was a thing.
I don't even remember what I wrote in high school. Like, really, it's been so long ago that I don't remember like assignments and what we really did.
Yeah, and I remember everything like an elephant.
You're also afraid of mice.
I'm not afraid of mice.
I know, but it was something to say.
Anyway, before we get too far off track with all of that, the other thing I wanted to mention here is there will be spoilers. So if you care about spoilers for Final Fantasy V or Dragon Quest V, don't listen to this episode, because
this is not for you.
There's no way we can talk about these things without getting into spoilers. And then last but not least, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Justin, who shot us a nice message on Twitter last week saying they'd started listening to the podcast, and he listened to the episode about playing Dragon Quest One one-handed and started downloading it and playing at work one-handed, and shared with us a couple of days ago that he'd beaten Dragon Quest One, presumably one-handed. So just congrats, Justin, and also shout out and thanks for listening to our podcast. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I like when people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like when people share things with us. Anyway, so jumping into FF5, DQ5, this was my first time playing Final Fantasy V, really.
And it really blows my mind that it is.
Well, see, I have Final Fantasy Anthology from back in the day on PS1, but it's not. It's not like a great way to play it. Play it. Yeah, and then
it might be the worst way to play it, actually.
I think it might be.
I think it is.
Yeah, it might be. That's why I said the Pixel Remaster is my first time really playing. It's my first time beating it, I guess, is how I should really say it. I've dabbled, I guess. But anyway, this also means that I've beaten all the Final Fantasies now. This was the only one I'd never beaten before. So I got it on PS5 with the Pixel Remaster. Played it, loved it. I know it's a Final Fantasy game you like super duper love.
Yep. Since I was 15 years old, before it was officially available in English, I went nuts for it.
Yeah. And so I was playing a lot the last like couple weeks. You know, it's a short game, I guess, compared to like modern standards. Mm-hmm. And a Pixel Remaster does have some quality of life improvements that I did. Experiment with quite a bit. For people who are just interested purely in the Pixel Remaster stuff, there's several boosts. Like, you can turn off enemy encounters, you can boost experience and like gil and things like that gained by like 2 times, 3 times, and 4 times, I think is what it is. And in Final Fantasy V's case, you can also do that with ability points for helping you grind jobs.
Oh.
And yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't really like that. I mean, I understand why they have that in. But it seems like that's, I don't know, those seem like cheat codes to me. Like, I don't know what it is about that, but just being able to boost all of that stuff just from the beginning.
I mean, you don't have to do it. I mean, it's the same as, like, you know, God mode and, like, the remasters for, like, Final Fantasy 7 and 8 and 9 and stuff. It's like, I think playing with all that stuff on does, like, greatly impact how you enjoy it personally, right. Just because it, like, makes it too easy. You're just blowing through and seeing the story, which if you just want to see the story, that's fine. I think for me, I turned all of it all the way up at the beginning and did like 3 fights there at the beginning. And I was like, whoa, this is like going to be way too easy. And so I turned it all completely off. And then I did turn off enemy encounters quite a bit because there were times that I just wanted to like go and get stuff like in the Kuza, the castle where you go to get the legendary weapons.
Right. Yeah.
I was going through it I wanted all 12 legendary weapons. So I kept going back to get more. And, you know, you can like fight X-Death Soul. And then there's like some kind of dragon in there that randomly spawn when you walk in. And they're just like annoying and obnoxious. And so I just like turned off enemy encounters and ran through there to collect my weapon and then ran out. Cause it was like, why waste 20 minutes fighting in here just to grab a weapon when I can like do it in 30 seconds if I turn this off. And so there, like the enemy encounter thing I thought was really nice. And then towards the last like fourth of the game, I was kind of like, okay, I just want to like beat this. Like I love Final Fantasy V, but like the whole last dungeon just felt like a real slog to me.
Mm. A lot of Final Fantasy dungeons are like that though. A lot of Final Fantasy final dungeons are like that, where by the time I get there, I am ready to have the boss fight, and then the random encounters just keep happening. And by that point in the game, they're very long, and a lot of times it's like King Behemoth, and I'm like, man, this is going to take 10 minutes. And I do totally get wanting that not to be what you do. But yeah, I'd want to power through that one.
And this one was bad too, because there's I don't know how many of them are optional and how many aren't. Like I know Omega and like Shin Ryu or whatever are both optional, but like the rest I think you all have to do. There's like a ton of bosses. And for me, the real limit I think for me was in the final dungeon when you're down in the jail cell in the castle during the interdimensional rift and you fight like the giant beholder. I can't remember what he's called, maybe like Catastrophe or something with a C, Cataclysm. I can't remember. Anyway, but he looks like a beholder from D&D.
Carpetbagger.
He's down there. It is not Carpetbagger, but he's he's in there. He's in a jail cell, and then there's this other boss that's in a jail cell, and then there's 2 treasure chests. But if you want to go and get those treasure chests, you have to like fight 3 of these old wizards that turn into dragon Avises once you defeat them, and you have to do like 3 fights back to back to back to back. And they all have a lot of health. And it was just super obnoxious. And that was really for me when I was like, you know what? Screw this. 4 times all the way up on everything. Like, I'm done. And I turned off the enemy encounters. And at that point, I was like, I don't even care about completing like the bestiary anymore because I knew I had missed one of the missable enemies already. Oh, no. So I knew I wasn't going to get a trophy for that or anything. And, then I was just like, whatever. And then same thing with when I got to the end, I'd found every single treasure chest. And then I got to the one that has Shin Ryu in it. And he's really hard and he just kept killing me. And I was like, you know what? I don't care bad enough to defeat him, to get the trophy to defeat him or to get the trophy for treasure chest. Cause that's the only thing I needed to get the treasure chest trophy. I'd opened all the rest of them. And I just kept dying and dying and dying. And I was like, I know X-Death is just like right ahead of me. Like I'm ready to just move on. And so that was kind of it for me.
Do you think that you're going to go back eventually and give another like quick playthrough using those extra boosts and bonuses to be able to platinum it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm sure I'll replay FF5. I've replayed like everything. Final Fantasy game. Yeah. I mean, I think the only Final Fantasy game at this point I haven't replayed is 15. I mean, I even replayed 14 because my old account on FF14 lost it. So I played 11,
but 11 doesn't count because it should never have been a mainline game.
Anyway, but like, yeah, like the others, I think I've replayed every single one of them. So I'm sure I'm going to replay FF5. Like that's, that's for sure going to happen at some point. So if you're only interested in the Pixel remaster, there's some kind of fun info for you if you're wanting to check it out. In terms of Dragon Quest V, as I was playing FF5, I was like really looking at it both as just like a Final Fantasy game, because it is, and I played all the others, so it's kind of like impossible not to like compare to other right. Final Fantasy games, but also just thinking about Dragon Quest. I know this is not necessarily related to DQ5 at all, but I know at one point I was telling you, like, I really do like the job system that's in Final Fantasy V. I think it's a very good job system. It's yep. definitely better than FF3's, even though I like FF3's fine. But it did kind of, like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's the best job system ever. And it's good, but I still think, I know I prefer 7 and 9s, and I think that 7 and 9s are better. Dragon Quest 7s and Dragon Quest 9s
job systems. I do think that Dragon Quest 9 has a better job system than Final Fantasy 5.
7s is even better than 9s.
I don't know. I don't like 7s as much.
Oh, wow. I love 7. Anyway, I think Final Fantasy 5 has the best job system of a Final Fantasy game. But just like in terms of other games that I've played that have job systems, like I don't think FF5's is the best. Like I feel like I've definitely loved Fantasy Life. I think I liked Fantasy Life's job system better than FF5's.
Oh,
even though
wow.
FF5 does have a really good job system. But I'm just saying, like, I think I would disagree with people who say FF5 has the best job system. Maybe it had the best job system for the time period. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to undersell it. It's got a very good job system. But I do think that in this case, there are games that have better job systems.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there are better job systems out there for sure. I think this one was both filled with nostalgia for a lot of people. There was hype leading up to it before there was North American releases. And I think that just the amount of flexibility that there is in it, because like it spawned competitions and different kinds of like challenges, like the four job fiesta, things mm-hmm. like that, where you're limited to the jobs that you can take as you progress through the game and use. I think there's just kind of a cult following for the Final Fantasy V system. But yeah, I think DQ9's is a lot better.
Yeah, I can see that. And I mean, I do like Final Fantasy V's job system. I don't mean it that way, but I don't think it's the best one.
Right.
Like of any game ever or anything. In terms of like Dragon Quest V, Final Fantasy V, I did want to share some cool things. So these games actually came out like super duper close together, like maybe more than any other Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest game. I was checking them out because I thought they came out around the same time, but I was like, which one came out first? And I was looking it up. Dragon Quest V came out September 27th, 1992, according to the internet. Final Fantasy V came out December 6th, 1992. So they were only just a couple months apart, really. End of September to the beginning of December of that year. So 1992, other than being a solid year for gaming, apparently, I saw these two games both come out around the same time. And so I think, even though, like, I mean, Dragon Quest V released first, and by no means do I think any of these like similarities I'm going to be talking about. Like, yeah. I don't think there it's any like a weird copying you situation, and I don't want it to come across as that because these games came out way too closely together. It would
right,
be impossible.
Yeah.
And then some of the similarities too are just things that have become like tropes for JRPGs. So don't want that to, seem like that at all. But I do think it's interesting that the fifth entries in the series came out the same year and very close together. And I don't mm-hmm. think that I cannot think of another time that that's happened where like the Final Fantasy, whatever numbered entry came out this close to that corresponding Dragon Quest entry like that. They're always usually like years apart. And then Final Fantasy
yeah.
got way ahead with its numbering past Dragon Quest eventually. But yeah, so I just thought that was kind of cool that we had the fifth entries of both of these games in the same year, right?
Yeah, yeah. I looked up the release dates. I'm like, with them coming out just a few months apart, it was really surprising to me.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was just kind of interest here is, so they both are only originally released in Japan, which I know you kind of touched on mm-hmm. A minute ago. It took until 2009 which is crazy, to get Dragon Quest V over here officially into English. That was on the DS version.
On the DS, yeah.
Yeah, and FF5 didn't make it stateside until 1999 as part of the Final Fantasy anthology that we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Although I think most people that I get the vibe from either played it as like the fan translation early on or the GBA version. I feel like the GBA version, which also included like additional jobs and things, is the one I see a lot of people really talking about with FF5.
Yeah.
Which came out in like 2006.
I really like the GBA version. That's the one that I'm actually going to replay soon. Like I've got it on the Vita now. I'd bought it and I got the PlayStation one on the Vita. I've got the other one for Game Boy, 3DS or DS Lite or whichever one I can play it on. And that's the one that I'm going to be replaying soon because that's the version that I found that I like better. I don't know what it is about it, but just the slightly simplified graphics, which isn't even a lot of simplified graphics just for the GBA. I like playing that kind of game on GBA. There's just something comfortable about it. And it is such an upgrade from the PS version that it's not even funny. And the original Super Nintendo version that I played as an emulator was back when I was 15 years old. So that was like 1998, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know that's when I was 15 years old, but I think that's when it was that I played it. Emulators couldn't do layers very well. So there were areas in Final Fantasy V that I have fond memories of because they were garbage. Like I couldn't see if you go into some like the ghost ship areas and a lot of areas where there are clouds and overlays, you couldn't see through the different layers. Like it was getting through it by either memorizing a map or like feeling your way through and hoping that you made it across like the bridges and through the dungeon. So like I have really fond memories of that, but then it's much more fun to play on the GBA, I think. And I played it the last time I beat it was actually the mobile version. Was on my phone, was the old, before they did the pixel remasters, the old version of Final Fantasy V, because I'm like one of the six people in the world who liked the redone sprites they did for all the mobile versions, and I wanted to play through the games with them. And so I played through V with that because it actually was one of the very few Final Fantasy games on mobile that had controls that were halfway decent enough to be able to use a touchscreen for.
So are you
Final Fantasy VI?
So are you, like, I know you said the next time you play it, you're about to replay it on GBA. So are you, are you going to get the Pixel Remaster at all? Are you even interested in that a little
I'm
bit?
I'm interested in it because of trophies, but I'm also like, I kind of want to play it on the one that I'm comfortable with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think for me, like I bought just five by itself for now because I'm assuming either the bundle with all of them or the games individually will go on sale like sooner or later.
Yeah,
and so it's kind of one of those things where I was like, I've replayed a lot of them. Like I even replayed Final Fantasy I just in the last like couple of years. So I'm just like, I'll buy those later. I don't necessarily feel like paying like the $18 right out the gate for all of them individually because I've played them before, but FF5 was kind of just like day one purchase. I'm going to get into it because it is really cool having these games on like PlayStation and Switch now. I mean, I think it's, We, including you and me, but not just like royal we, but I mean, people really begged for these to come to off of Steam or wherever they were. So it's really nice that we have them there. I'm sad that the Xbox folks miss out, but like it is really cool that we have those. For Final Fantasy Anthology, for people who are not familiar with that, so we had Final Fantasy Anthology that had 5 and 6 in the States. I read somewhere that this had, that it was 4 and 5 in the UK, which I thought was odd. And then we had, over here at least, we had Final Fantasy Chronicle, which was FF4 and Chrono Trigger on PS1.
Yes. Which, and again, Chrono Trigger, bad.
They're not good ways to play any of these games, I would argue. Yeah.
No, the PS1 versions are in fact, the worst way to play anything they released on them. And I still have all of the original discs and everything because I collect them, but I will never use them again.
Yeah, they're just really slow. They're really slow and just they have problems. I even tried the Chrono Trigger. I played it on the PS3 since, you know, it can play PS1 discs. And yeah even I don't know that it really like speeds up load times because it is just a PS1 disc, but I could not tell. Like a lot of these games have just like insane wait times between like you're running on the map.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes to like your fight screen and you just, it's like when that happens, when the screen goes black, it's like, put your controller down, go make a sandwich, pee if you have to, grab a drink, sit back down on the couch, eat your sandwich.
And then and you then might have a couple of minutes to, free time before the fight starts.
Yeah, where it's just, I mean, this is a hyperbole, but only a little bit, honestly. Like, the load times for these games are wild, and I would not recommend anybody play those versions
amazed that they were able to, they felt comfortable releasing those with the load times. I mean, I understand that it's the PS1. Like, we were all prepared. We knew what we were getting into with PS1 games, but there were other games that didn't load like this that were much better graphics these were bad emulator ports, too. Like, they were ROMs a disc, which was the problem.
Yeah, and poor FF5 didn't even make it onto the cover. Like, if you look at Final Fantasy Anthology, it's just Terra riding the Magitek armor.
Yeah, I understand them, you know, trying to push that. It's great art. It's they know that people love Final Fantasy III in the United States, the Final Fantasy VI. So I get them pushing it, but it was the first time that was in English, and it was Dookie. Officially in English.
Yeah, so... kind of a common theme I noticed as I was playing FF5 and that I thought like, oh, hey, this is actually feels a lot like DQ5 at times, is that they both have this big emphasis on family and the past, what like things that happened in the past, like the whole setup for DQ5, you're looking for your mom. And then even as a kid, before the game even starts, there's like important events connected to the big bad of that game that happened way before you're, you know, playing before the game actually begins. This is like all background info and you're going around with your dad with Pancras and everything. And for this one, it's really comes through with Bart's dad was like one of the Warriors of Dawn. And you find out that Galuf, I assume I'm pronouncing that right. I don't really know. Galuf. I don't know.
I say Galuf, but you say Galuf. Like I've never actually heard it said by anyone.
Yeah, who knows? Galuf, whatever his name is, that's in your party. He's also one of those Warriors of Dawn, you find out. And that was 30 years before the events in FF5 when they sealed away Xdeath. And so I thought it was interesting how much like the past events come into play. And it's like those events don't get resolved until the very end. And maybe by coincidence, you know, the amount of story you play through Dragon Quest V is also around 30 years probably, because you're a kid and then you're stuck in your jail for like 10 years and then you turn to stone for another like 8 years and you're playing through the events along the same time. So it's very so I thought that was kind of a cool little coincidence. But you're also both Bart's and the hero from DQ5 are like sons of a great warrior, which is kind of a common trope, but it is interesting that you're like you're both sons of this dead warrior. And in DQ5's case, you kind of get to see that with Pancras. And with Final Fantasy V, you get to see flashbacks with Bart's dad. I think I would argue that the role of Pancras for FF5 is kind of is Galuf. And they, again, spoilers, but they die in very similar ways. Whenever Galuf dies, I was like, wow, this is very similar to the way Pancras dies. And it's weird that both these games came out around the same time and kind of went with this same thing where you're fighting, where there's enemies and it looks like there's no way you're going to get out of there alive. And then you put your foot forward, use the last of your power, and then this big bad that you're going to have to fight again later on like basically burns you, like catches you on fire, and destroys you. And like those scenes look very, very similarly. And it's weird to me that I just thought it was kind of cool that that happens, that happens in both of those games. And both of those games, I mean, it's very heartbreaking. Like, I messaged you and I was like, I knew it was going to happen, but I'm bummed that they killed off the one character that actually had some personality in this game.
Yeah. I mean, and that is one of the big issues with 5 is that it's following up Final Fantasy 4, which is incredibly character driven. And it's the first time that they really invest in a full narrative without you creating as much of the party as you do. And then it precedes Final Fantasy 6, which is you know, considered by a lot of people the like best story overall in any of the game, and the best presentation. And then you have Final Fantasy 5 stuck right in the middle there, where the story is good, fine. There's stuff in it that's really good. The characters aren't that, you know, well-rounded. And it just surprises me that they spent more time on the mechanics of this one than the story. You have like one character who is like really in, like, you can really invest in.
Yeah, for sure. And the stuff with Kryle, I assume that's how you pronounce her name too. With Kryle is very much looks like a little kid version of DQ5 Hero, you know, running to Pancras after he's defeated. And there's that scene with Kryle running to Galuf that's in it. And those, I feel like those scenes mirror each other very well. Speaking of gimmicks though, you talked about, job systems and having that, they both have gimmicks. They're different gimmicks, but the big thing with FF5 is jobs, right? You say Final Fantasy V and everybody's like, job system.
Right.
You say Dragon Quest V and people are like, oh, monster recruiting.
Yeah, monster recruiting is the big one that people think of and say.
Yeah, and so it's cool that both of these games, like, I mean, with Final Fantasy, yes, there had been a job system already with 3, but it's kind of like they both kind of leaned heavily into having some kind of battle gimmick. Like, it wasn't just going to be the typical combat that you saw in 4. And with Final Fantasy, they were like, we're going to do a job system again, but make it better. And with Dragon Quest, it was like monster recruiting, which is cool. I mean, I like that they both have those, but I just thought, again, it's interesting that they have these different gimmicks going on in terms of combat. And then the other thing I thought was kind of cool. So Final Fantasy V takes place in 3 worlds. You have Bart's world that you start out in. Then you go to Galuf's world. And then at the very end, you have the merged world that you fly around in and do stuff in. And DQ5 doesn't necessarily have 3 worlds, but you have those 3 time periods that kind of work like worlds, where you're a child, and then you're like a young adult, and then you're like married kids. You have young children running around with you. And I mean, speaking as someone who has lived through a lot of those lifetimes of childhood, young adulthood, and then like having kids of your own, like, those really are 3 different worlds.
Yeah, it's true.
So I would argue that DQ5 maybe is more metaphorical, but like figurative, but I would say that both these games have 3 different worlds that you kind of go around and explore in.
Yeah, and at least 3 different distinct phases of the game that differ pretty greatly.
Well, and even in DQ5, like, there's areas that you go back and revisit, and the time period has changed. So, I mean, it does feel like a different world. And so, again, just a common thing, just a similar thread that both these games have that I thought was kind of cool. And then the other one, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too, is that they both had boss fights that have since kind of become so iconic that they've been featured in other entries in those series, whether they're mainline entries or spinoffs or whatever. In Dragon Quest V, you have Bjorn the Behemoth, the big guy. I mean, that's a very memorable part of that game. It's in the Your Story movie. Bjorn the Behemoth is in Dragon Quest X, for sure in Monsters Joker 2, maybe in Monsters Joker 3. We'll find out because you've been playing it, but we'll talk about that another day. But it's probably in that Dragon Quest Heroes, the first Dragon Quest Heroes game, and probably most recently DQ Tact, as part of an event, was in Bjorn the Behemoth. So people really remember that. You know, you have this massive monster that's walking towards you, and it's a very like cool cutscene on the DS version of DQ5 when Bjorn the Behemoth comes in. And then with Final Fantasy V, you have Gilgamesh, who I would say is might be the most famous thing from Final Fantasy V. Yeah. In terms of the legacy of Final Fantasy V, Gilgamesh and like the battle on the big bridge, like all of that stuff has become iconic, really. I mean, you fight Gilgamesh like half a dozen times in FF5, and he actually has a very solid character arc.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the same in Final Fantasy 14. You have the battle on the big bridge and the solid character arc and his chicken buddy Enkidu.
Yeah, and Gilgamesh is also a hunt in FF12, and it's the same Gilgamesh, the same.
Is one it really?
Yeah, same one you see in like 14 and 5. Yeah, where Gilgamesh is just kind of, I mean, I love it. You love it. Clearly, people love it. They keep putting him in stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he is funny. It is a good time.
Gilgamesh, it's a good time. And that's actually, I think that was actually the saddest moment in FF5 for me, is during the last fight, whenever you're fighting, I can't remember the boss, and then Gilgamesh comes in and kind of like defends you and is like fighting the boss with you and is like telling you like nice things about yourself. Where it's like, Lena, you care about animals and are so nice. Ferris, never stop believing in yourself. And it's just like, oh, like, and then he casts self-destruct on himself and takes out the boss too. And I was like, Gilgamesh, no!
And it's like, Bart, your real name should be Butts.
Yeah, he does not say that. But
he should, because his name is Butts.
I think that part is optional. I think I checked later on, and like you totally miss that if you don't go to try to open that chest that has the boss in it.
Yeah.
Then you miss the Gilgamesh stuff where he does self-destruct and is telling you nice things about yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was optional.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. This was my first time playing it, so who knows. Probably wrong about everything. But yeah, that was a very heartbreaking moment for me in FF5 was Gilgamesh. I thought he had very good character development, and you go from, he's kind of an annoying boss early on, and then he shows up a few more times, and it's kind of like, it's kind of the walking the line between like, ha ha, another Gilgamesh fight, and just like, really? Like, you show up again? But then, I don't know, it got really good. The stuff with like Excalibur is also another running joke that is in other Final Fantasy games.
Excalibur is fun.
Last thing I had on my list for DQ5 and FF5 is, thanks to the DS version, at least, of Dragon Quest V, sisters are a big part of those games now. Because you have Ferris and Lena as sisters in FF5, and then Deborah and Nira in Dragon Quest V. And they can be in your party. I mean, depending on which bride you choose and stuff like that. But still, yeah. They get to be in your party and are kind of like a core part of the story, where it's not necessarily the main focus of either one of those stories, but kind of like one of the core elements of it is still sisters and playing that role for you. So there you go. That's my stuff.
Yeah, and I still need to get through Dragon Quest V. It's one where, you know, I've seen the movie, I've talked to you, I've started it 100 times, and just haven't played it. I need to get to it probably before I get to DQ6, which I have thought about playing the Famicom translated version because of the graphics being so good for the Super Famicom.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful. And I know this is getting ahead of ourselves and we brought up before, but I'm very hopeful that, I mean, Zenithia Trilogy remasters, like, come on, like, put those things on Switch already. Dragon Quest Day is coming up very soon in just a couple of weeks. And it's like, okay, pixel remasters, you've done this for Final Fantasy now. You gave the people what they wanted and put them on Switch and PlayStation. Like, now let's do Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6. Like, I want that. Give me it. Give me it.
So, so do you think that there will be any surprise drops on DQ Day? Like immediate, like, hey guys, this is available now on the eShop.
I don't think so. I don't know. I know we usually kind of do like a predictions episode ahead of DQ Day, so maybe I'll save that for predictions just because I haven't really thought about it too much. But
yeah.
But that can be a teaser for next week. Ooh. Ooh. here are Dragon Quest Day predictions. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I really like the Pixel remasters. I know people hated on them when they first came out. And don't get me wrong, the first thing I did was go back to the classic font because I did not like that new font that they have.
Yeah.
But I thought they were really good. It looked really pretty on my TV when I was playing it. I didn't had no issues, like no lag or glitches or any kind of problems. I mean, it all ran really well. I thought it was all neato. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard really, really weird things about the Pixel remaster sometimes just lagging up, but I'm glad you didn't have any kind of issues.
Me too. It was fun. Yeah. Cool. If you want to check them out, you or anybody listening, like, definitely do it. I think they're good. I obviously, if I have to choose one or the other, I like Dragon Quest V better just because it's nothing against FF5. It's just because the story of Dragon Quest V is like so dang good. The monster right. recruiting is so good. It has Bianca, who's one of my favorite Dragon Quest characters of all time. It has Dragon Quest V's protagonist. It might be my favorite Dragon Quest protagonist of all time. And so I don't know. But I think it's because you play as the Dragon Quest V protagonist, like through different stages of his life, you feel much more of a connection to him.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Rather than just like a cut and paste kind of protagonist that a lot of Dragon Quest games have where, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be you, so they don't give them much personality, but Fives feels like you, because you see so much of his life, he feels more like a real character. And I think that's really what does it for me there at the end of the day. So, but yeah, Final Fantasy V, good. Dragon Quest V, good. Play them both.
Good.
Play them both. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, you can talk to us on Twitter at Dragon Quest FM. We also have a Patreon page. If you would like to support this podcast, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me personally, I am on Twitter at Dragon Quaston.
And I'm on Twitter at Professor Beej. You can find us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And like you said, patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.